You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Atlanta Braves with MLB.com's Braves beat reporter, Mark Bowman. Mark, it seems like maybe a little bit of a surprise that Jace Peterson has not only played his way into a spot on the team, but if I'm reading your stuff correctly, may have even played himself into being the primary second baseman. Is that an accurate read, and is it as much of a surprise as it seems to be from here?
Yeah, it's certainly a surprise, especially if we had this conversation the day before we came to spring training, before you get your first look at Jace Peterson, a guy who had some limited time there with San Diego last year. A guy who has risen through their minor league system, San Diego's minor league system, after being a two-sport star at McNeese State. Just a very athletic guy. One of those guys that just kind of sticks out. I don't know if he's going to be, develop into an elite second baseman. I don't want to tout him as anything like that, but he's just one of those steady guys that is certainly appears to be a better option than Alberto Callaspo. It was a little bit of a reach, he was definitely a reach, let's put it that way, during the offseason when they targeted him to play second base and spend some time at third base.
How do you really feel about Callaspo, Mark? Don't hold it in.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to, some of our other guys when they had the signing, and they weren't real high on him. The Angels, those who cover the Angels and the A's. He came to camp overweight, and that's been a problem for him the last couple of years. And he convinced the Braves he was going to hire a personal trainer. Well, if he did, I think he may have fired that personal trainer after he signed that contract there in early December. So, he does not seem to be an everyday player. Jace Peterson has stood out. I think he will get plenty of the reps there, and as I hinted, it may not just be playing second base. He may also play third base when Chris Johnson sits against some right-handers. The other choice there is Phil Gosselin, who I see as a better option than Callaspo as well.
You mentioned, and I actually hadn't realized this, you mentioned that Peterson played two sports. Rio Ruiz, same thing. Terrell Jenkins, same thing. That was an old... When the Braves were on top, that was something that they really seemed to do a lot of. The guys they drafted and developed weren't just baseball players; they were athletes, and their pitchers were all athletes and could hit. Is that the acquisition of those guys maybe reflective of one of the ways that this new old regime is trying to get back to the way things used to be?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're starting to see them target the better athletes, the guys that. It might, I think recently a lot of their draft picks have been, what we all term as safe picks. Now they're reaching out and trying to get the athletes. It's certainly targeting speed. You see a lot more speed in the system right now. The guys like Rio Ruiz, who could have played quarterback at USC, Tyrell Jenkins, who could have played quarterback at Baylor, Jace Peterson, a guy who played DB in college. You are seeing more of those kind of athletes that you saw come in here before, and some of that may have to do with the fact that they have brought back some of their old scouts. Roy Clark is now back in the system after being gone for a few years, so I think that old mindset is back, and as you heard many times, Sherholt said, we want to get back to the Braves way, and Now I'm on that. I need to tell you something. When Freddie got tossed last week in the first inning, spring training game, he's sitting there with Bobby Cox last week, and John Sherholtz walked by, and Freddie goes, hey, John, I'm just trying to get back to the Braves way here, trying to get back to the old days of Bobby, and Sherholtz had a laugh with that.
Looking around, the other sort of guy who's really emerged, it seems, is Eric Young Jr. What exactly has he shown? I mean, everybody knows he's fast, but that's not exactly the same thing as playing center field. What has he shown to sort of play his way into what seems like a pretty big opportunity?
Yeah, and I think when that center field spot opened up, when Upton went down with the foot injury, initial thought was, you know, he has not played enough center field. They'll probably end up putting Yuri Perez or Todd Cunningham, two guys who have played that position throughout the minor leagues. They'll be much more comfortable in that spot. But what we've seen from Eric Young is, look, yes, he is unfamiliar with balls off the bat. Maybe he doesn't take the best routes, but his speed does make up for it. And John Hart said right away, he said, look, you know, I had Kenny Lofton for many years in Cleveland. He didn't take the best routes, but he had the kind of speed that he can make up for or to compensate for some of the bad routes that he takes. And, you know, Eric Young has shown that he's willing to put in the time. He's working hard with Bo Porter, who's the third base coach who handles the outfielders from a defensive perspective. He works with him a lot. And what we've seen is, you know, he's ranged to his left. He's ranged to his right. He's come forward. His arm is okay for center. I mean, center field, it's adequate. And to tell you the truth, you know, what we've seen from him is certainly every bit as good as what we've seen from Melvin Upton in the last couple of years. So I think, in Upton's absence, he'll be fine in that position. And, you know, in a couple weeks or months here, we'll be talking. I'm sure one of the questions you'll be asking me is, what are they going to do when Upton comes back?
Or why are they sticking with Eric Young Jr. when he's not hitting, if that might also...
Well, there's that part of the equation as well. So, yeah, that's going to be somewhat of a concern. You're hoping that he gets on base enough and puts the ball in play to where he can use that speed. But like you said, as you're alluding to, you can't steal first base, and you saw that his numbers dropped significantly last year with the Mets, and you wonder if that's a trend. But for now, I think they're saying, hey, look, we're going to give him a chance, see if this works. And the other interesting angle to that is they have been, you know, as you've seen and read, that they've been putting Peraza out there in center field. He hasn't played in the game yet. He'll be supposed to play in some games on the minor league side. Maybe if Eric Young doesn't work after a few weeks and there's still questions about when Upton's returning, or, you know, obviously there will be lingering questions about what you're going to get when Upton returns, maybe Peraza does end up being an option there in center field as well.
One thing that we have talked about in the past, in recent weeks, is that if this club is going to surprise, and I have a weird hunch they're a little better than some of the conventional wisdom out there has them. But if they're going to surprise and actually contend, it's going to have to be on the back of the starting rotation. And I am Mr. Don't Put Too Much Into Small Sample Sizes, but I'm looking at how the rotation has been. The front guys have struggled, but that'll happen. But it looks like really nobody has seized that opportunity to take that fifth spot. I mean, even Wandy Rodriguez, 5 Ks, 5 walks. What's the back of the rotation looking like? Is Wandy clearly emerging as the guy, and how does that kind of look like it's going to come together?
If you want to look simply at small sample sizes, which is not the intelligent approach, as you said, yes, Wandy Rodriguez and Eric Stoltz, that seems to be the right fit for the final two rotation spots, with two being open, but given that Minor is going to start the year on the DL, the hope is maybe he would return in late April. So let's put Eric Stoltz in one of those spots for sure, and let's argue against Wandy Rodriguez. Yes, he was okay the other day against the Astros. He did let the bottom of the lineup load the bases. He got out of it that jam. He even when we've asked some of the other guys around the clubhouse, you know, how did he pitch? It's just, okay. There's nothing that jumps out about Wandy. Now, do you want to go ahead and pay him $2 million knowing that he failed a physical with the Phillies in December after signing a minor league contract with them or agreeing to a minor league contract with them? You know, he's made 18 starts the last 2 years. Do you want to really just pay him, the gamble that he could very easily end up on the DL for most of the season? The other part of that equation is Minor. You know, is Minor going to come back and, by the end of April, then are you paying Wandy just for a few starts? And then there's the other part of that is if you put him at the back end of the rotation with Stoltz, now all of a sudden you got two pretty similar pitchers pitching back-to-back, 4 and 5. Now, yeah, you could split them up
But at the same time, I just don't see the attraction with putting Wandy in that rotation. Now, when I mention Minor, somebody could come back and legitimately say, well, why isn't Minor considered every bit as much of an injury risk? And, hey, that's fair. But at the same time, I just think that if they can get anything for Wandy, and I'm not thinking that they're going to get anything significant, much maybe a double-A pitcher or something, a marginal player, I think that maybe just try to get something out of him, trade him, and just go ahead and fill the rotation with Cody Martin, who, you know, he's not going to light up the right radar guns. He's not going to, impress you with any of his stuff, but he's a guy that could fit there in the back of the rotation until either Minor's ready or until Mike Foltynewicz has some time to go down to the Triple A level and start to get a better command, you know, more consistent location, better command, and most importantly, a better feel for his secondary stuff to where he can be more of a pitcher than a thrower.
All right, well, excuse me, Mark Bowman, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night on every device. Visit MLB.tv for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.